Please be seated. I'm struggling with a cold this morning, so bear with me. I have my water handy should I need it, and I probably will. We continue our focus on Christian community this week by looking at the nature of Christian hospitality. So we turn to a very brief story from the Gospels, a very brief few words from Jesus, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Let us listen together for God's Word. Now, I should tell you, Jesus, before this scene, Jesus had been invited to the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees for a meal. That's important context. Jesus said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as we continue to seek your wisdom and your guidance, as we continue to know how to live and how to follow, we ask you to speak to us this morning through your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, a confession. This is among the least favorite of mine, least favorite saying of Jesus. And why? It's very simple. It's very straightforward. It's hard to nuance these words. It's hard to create them, to read them as some sort of metaphor or allegory so that we might not take them so seriously. And as I look back on my life, I have a hard time thinking of even one instance when I have taken these words with any real seriousness. They are so simple. It's hard to get around them. Jesus is talking here about hospitality. He's talking about throwing a banquet or a luncheon, the sorts of things that we might do all the time, especially on Sundays, a brunch after church. He's talking about hospitality. Hospitality for us is when we open our doors, invite friends in for lunch. And we might open our home to someone who needs to stay the night, or we might invite family in for 3 or, God forbid, 4 days. That's hospitality. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's at the lunch table with the leader of the Pharisees, a fairly important fellow who invited him in for a meal. Now, Jesus had just finished giving all of those gathered a lecture about where to sit when they're invited to a banquet. He says, don't take the seat at the head of the table, because then you'll be embarrassed when the host asks you to move down. Instead, take the most humble seat. And then when you're invited to move forward, you'll be pleased. You'll be rewarded. So Jesus seems to be giving a mini lecture on etiquette right in front of his host. Jesus pulls no punches. He doesn't hesitate to talk to his host, who has shown him hospitality as culture understands hospitality. Jesus does not hesitate to show him what true hospitality is. So Jesus is telling us 2 things about hospitality. First, that hospitality, as we ordinarily think of it, is not really hospitality. At least it's not what we might call Christian hospitality. The other thing Jesus is telling us is that hospitality is so much bigger than opening our home, than laying a table or making a bed. It's so much bigger. So let's start with that second point, that hospitality is much bigger than inviting folks into our home for a meal or for a night or for a drink. If you look back on the story of Israel, we can understand the entire story of Israel as a story of hospitality. Where did it all begin? It began with a man named Abram, a man who knew nothing of this God that we call Yahweh. But one day this God calls out to Abram and he says, go, leave your home, leave your father, leave his family, and go. By the way, I'm not telling you where you're going. And so Abram leaves, he follows, and he becomes a nomad. He becomes a wanderer, a stranger in a foreign land. He leaves on the strength only of God's promise. God's promise that one day God would make a great nation of this man. That one day this great nation would have a land, a place, a home to call their own. Abram left on the promise of God's hospitality. The people of Israel continued that pattern of wandering. They were enslaved in Egypt. When they were set free from Egypt, they were set free only to wander through the desert, again, strangers in a foreign land, trusting in the promise of God's hospitality. And if we look at that passage from Deuteronomy that we read this morning, we see that hospitality takes center stage even in the law itself with these words, "You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." God has a special concern for the stranger. A special concern. Other translations, instead of stranger, say alien or sojourner or foreigner. God has a special concern for the stranger, which means God has a special concern for hospitality. We fast forward from the law and the wandering people of Israel to the time of the prophets. And what were the failings of Israel that the prophets railed against? But the failure to care for the orphan and the widow and the stranger in their midst, which equates to a failure to honor these people as a part of God's chosen people, which in fact they were, which equates to a failure to show hospitality to those who were on the margins, a failure to include those whom God had already included. Fast forward again to the time of Jesus, to the New Testament, to the time of Paul and the early church. And we see again hospitality taking center stage. Remember those words from 2 weeks ago from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul writes this, "Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." All of the struggles that Paul dealt with, all of the turmoil in the early church came down to hospitality. Could this new church welcome those who had been grafted into the people of Israel, those who did not belong, those who were the other, the outsiders? Could the church welcome them? Could the church show them the hospitality that God had shown them, that God had demonstrated time and again to the people of Israel? Hospitality is so much bigger than laying a table and making a bed. Hospitality cuts to the core of what it means to be a Christian. It cuts to the core of what it means to be a part of this story that began with the people of Israel, this story of God's work among us and in us and through us. Hospitality is at the center. It's not a practice that we adopt. It's not a discipline that we cultivate. It's not a gift that some people have and others don't. It is at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. One author puts it this way, "It is the field in which everything that we do transpires. It's the very ground in which our community grows." In fact, I would say this, that more than any other single factor, hospitality is what makes community distinctively Christian. We've been talking about community these last 4 weeks, and community happens in so many places and in so many ways. What is it exactly that sets the church's community apart from all the other communities that we experience? What exactly is it that sets us apart as uniquely Christian? What difference does it make? And I think this is the answer. It comes down to hospitality. It comes down to welcoming the stranger, the foreigner, the alien, the outcast. And so let's return then to the first point that Jesus is making, which was that hospitality, as we think of it, is not really hospitality at all. Hospitality, as we think of it, is not really Christian hospitality. Jesus is at this table, and he's talking with these Pharisees, included among them the one who showed him hospitality. And Jesus makes it clear that a great deal depends on to whom that hospitality is extended. Jesus says, don't invite your friends, don't invite your brother, your relative, don't invite those with higher status than you, because when you do that, they might invite you back. Strange that Jesus presents that as if that's a problem. Jesus wants to tear the strings of the economies that we live in and work around, the give and take, the what's in it for me mindset. Jesus says, don't invite these people because then you might be repaid. But instead, invite those who can't pay you back. Invite those who have no home to invite you to. Invite those who have no means to feed you. Invite those you would never think to invite. In fact, invite those that were not even invited in the first place. So if we take Jesus at his word, if we take this notion of hospitality seriously, the first thought that might enter your mind, it's the first thought that entered mine, is there's some risk involved here. There's the risk of unpredictability. We just don't know what's going to happen. It could be awkward. Feelings might get hurt. Cultural, social norms might get trampled. But it's bigger than that. My own safety could be at risk. There is risk in this hospitality that Jesus is talking about. If you look at the word hospitality, it comes from the Latin and it combines two words. Hostis, which is the Latin word for guest or stranger. And then potens, which is the Latin word for power. And so at its root, hospitality means something like exerting or having power over the guest. You welcome a guest or a stranger into your home, you have a certain power over. Power to care for, power to provide for that guest. But that first part of the word, hostis, also means enemy. Isn't that interesting? And so the word hostis is also the root of our word hostel. Not the place where you stay when you go to Europe on the cheap. But the kind of attitude an enemy might have toward you, a hostile enemy. And so hostility, risk, unpredictability is built into the very idea of hospitality, which led one philosopher, Jacques Derrida, to coin a new word. Instead of calling it hospitality, he calls it hostipitality. So that we don't forget the risk that is involved. Because if we are not taking a risk in hospitality, can we even call it hospitality in the first place? If we pick and choose who is invited, is it really hospitality? If we invite those who know they're on the same level, who can expect an invitation from us, is it still hospitality? Jesus says no. Jesus says Christian hospitality is radical hospitality. It's a hospitality that expects nothing in return. It was Friday night football in Grapevine, Texas, about 5 years ago. And it was Grapevine Faith against Gainesville State. And at the outset of the game, an outside observer would notice that something was awry, that this was a strange football game. Because the Faith fans created a 40-yard spirit tunnel when the Gainesville players took the field. And as the game started, this observer would notice that half of the Faith fans had gone to sit in the Gainesville bleachers, that half of the Faith cheerleaders were standing on the Gainesville sideline, cheering on the Gainesville players. The fans in the bleachers were cheering on the Gainesville players by name, encouraging them to hit and to beat their own sons. And so this observer would be puzzled until the end of the game, when the 14 Gainesville players are escorted by 12 uniformed police officers with handcuffs at the ready, marching them on to the team bus. Because Gainesville State is not a high school, it's a maximum security correctional facility, 75 miles north of Dallas. All of the games that the Gainesville State team plays are away games. And the coach of Faith decided to show this team a kind of hospitality that they would never expect. This was his message to the parents of the faith players. He said, "Here's the message I want you to send. You are just as valuable as any other person on planet Earth." And so they showed this team radical hospitality. At the end of the game, the two teams gathered for prayer in the middle of the field, and one of the Gainesville players asked to offer the prayer, which worried both coaches because they didn't know what he was going to say. And he said this, "Lord, I don't know how this happened, so I don't know how to say thank you. But I never would have known there was so many people in the world who cared about us." A colleague of mine works in Center City, Philadelphia, and he is a part of an organization that is doing really creative ministry there in the heart of the city, ministry that brings in a great deal of young, artsy people, but at the same time has a vibrant ministry to the homeless. And their ministry there is so unique and so successful that the worship on Sunday nights doesn't just draw the young, artsy people who are looking for a different sort of church experience, but it also draws in the homeless. The homeless just don't just go to get a meal on Wednesday nights, but they come to worship on Sunday evenings. One day, a young couple in this church came to the pastor and said that they wanted to be married in that church. They'd been a part of the church for a long time, and that worshiping community meant a great deal to them. And so rather than doing the typical Saturday afternoon wedding sort of thing, instead they wanted to have their wedding on Sunday evening during a normal worship service. They said, "Because this church is our family, and we want them to be a part of it." Now surely they sent out invitations to close friends and family, but their intention was that all who gathered for worship that day, that night, would be included in their special moment. And so that Sunday night came, and the regulars came, the ordinary worshiping people, and the homeless. And then, of course, a few others, family and friends there just for the wedding. A short time later, this young woman who was a nurse in one of the Philadelphia hospitals was working in the emergency room, and there was a commotion, and they called all of the staff that was available to this one bed to try to calm the situation. One of the patients, a man, a homeless man, had become very agitated, and they couldn't calm him down. So it was an all-hands-on-deck sort of situation, and this young woman went into that hospital room. And when she entered, the homeless man immediately fell silent. And he looked at her, and he said, "I know you. You invited me to your wedding." Christian hospitality is a radical hospitality. Jesus said, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. This is very challenging. This is very, very challenging. But let us, as a community that seeks to follow, as a community that seeks to be distinctively Christian, take up that challenge together. Let us pray. God, we ask for the grace to be welcoming, the way that you have so graciously welcomed us and brought us near into your family. May we show that welcome to others, and not just those who expect it, and not just those that we would expect to give the invitation to, but to all, to the different, to the other, to those who are in need of your embrace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we